Well, greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again, and I thank you for listening in to this recording, and I thank you for your faithfulness to learn the Word of God. And today we're going to be going back into our study of the letter G and continuing there. Our study is concerning God. God proper. What does the Bible say about God? And we got a lot of people and instances in the world that talk about God. People aren't afraid to talk about God, but what God are you talking about? And the one that we're talking about is the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible. So far, what we've discussed in this study is who made God. We talked about that, you remember. And we talked about how do we know that there is a God. And we went over some facts concerning how we know that God is and how we believe. Well, first thing is that we believe, and we believe in the facts of what proves that there's a God, and we know that there's a God because of our belief in Him, because the Bible says those that come unto Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, the Lord will seek out. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, the Lord is always compassionate and wanting people to be saved, but the Lord will not violate your will. He's not going to violate, and He's not going to get in the middle of your will. If you will not come to Him and you don't want Him, then He don't want you. And He will do all He can and go to the ends of His means. We're talking about God's means. To get you saved and get you into His family and to get you forgiven and to give you eternal life. But if you absolutely insist on going to hell, then He'll let you go to hell. But the Bible says that that we can know that there is a God because these things have I written unto you that ye may know that ye have eternal life. So there are things that we can know by what we believe. By what we believe. But the world defines knowing as having scientific proof. And they're so messed up on their science nowadays, they don't even know what science is themselves. They deny the only science book in the world, which is the Bible. They deny it, but they claim to have knowledge of science. They ain't got no knowledge of science. You deny that Bible, you deny science, and you deny everything that has to do with truth. So go try to convince your dog or your jackass out in the barn or something like that. Try to convince them all that stuff because we don't believe that. We believe that the Bible is a science book. And that science originates in the scriptures, and that we know that. But we can have facts based on what we believe, and universal belief proves that there's a God, and the fact that everything must have a cause proves that there's a God. Intricate design proves that there's a God, and the fact that the whole creation, the whole of creation proves that there's a God. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and they do, don't they? They do. The events of history proves that there's a God. We've seen God, we've seen Him step into time and step into history. I mean, every civilization that is has some kind of historical recordings about a major flood that went on in their society, talking about Noah's flood. I mean, the Lord has stepped into history. He's been all through history and still is. The Lord is history. The Bible says that there is a God. That's the main thing, is we have written, documented proof that there is a God. Our Bible teaches us there's a God. God, there nowhere in the scriptures does it make any kind of question concerning whether there is a God. It never brings that question up. The Bible always assumes that God is. And the Lord Jesus Christ did in His time and His ministry while He was here with us on the earth. And He never made any kind of or inclined in any way that there could possibly not be a God. When you was around the Lord Jesus Christ, you knew that there was a God because He didn't even choose to believe in the Lord. He knew that the Lord was. And that's the way that we are, is that we know He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Haven't you been rewarded by the Lord before? haven't you? Okay, then you know, right? Okay, and the Bible says that our spirits bear witness that we are the sons of God. And we bear witness with one another because we have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in us, and our spirit bears witness with Him. Now, we talked about how many gods are there. Remember that? We talked about that. I think that was last recording. And then we went over all of them things that are made up of three, that God is a Trinity, and that the Godhead is a triune Godhead, meaning it's made up of three. It's one in three and three in one. And we talked about, like, for instance, a glass of water with an ice cube and with the vapors of water, and how water, H2O, can be in three different forms but yet still be one essential thing, will be one essence. We talked about how man uses the threes, for instance, the three musketeers, and the man has three names, first, middle, and last, and how we use acronyms all the time with three letters, and the three gifts of the wise man, and there's threes all over the place. Went over about 100 of those things, if you remember. And if you'd like a copy of those and want reference to that, all you got to do is email me, and I'll email them right to you. And you can have copies of this stuff. And of this, well, I say this stuff in respect to God's words. What I mean is you can have something to study and something to go over again and again, because we need to stay in God's word and keep our minds fresh to the word of God. And we should desire for the Lord to saturate us with His word. Now, in the study of God, we went over electricity, we went over the church offices, what the Bible says about threes, kingdoms, military, matter, energy. We went over all of that, astronomy, and about three hells, and how trees are made up of three different parts, and the sun is made up of three different parts, just all kinds of stuff. Anything that's real and anything that is reality is made up of three. And you see God's thumbprint of the Godhead, the Trinity, on all of creation and everything that's real. Now, the Bible says that the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. That's what the Bible says a person is. If he says within himself, in his heart, that there's no God. Now, a lot of people will say it with their mouth, or say it with their head, but they don't believe it in their heart. They know there's a God. The Bible says that nature itself does teach us that there's a God. So man knows that there's a God, and the only way that a man can not know that there's a God is that he trains himself and convinces himself and deceives himself that there isn't a God. So that's the way that goes. Now, today we're going to go into a different category concerning God, and we're going to talk about what is God. What is God? We're going to begin by speaking about and discussing four different statements in the Bible that tell us what God is. Starting out with Scripture today in John chapter 4, verse 24, the Bible says, God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So the first thing that we find out that God is that God is a spirit. He is divine essence. God is a spirit. And those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, you'll notice in your King James Bible that any time the Bible is talking about God the Holy Spirit, it will capitalize that word spirit. And it's talking about God Himself in the person of God the Holy Ghost. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit, lowercase S, meaning the spirit of us, the spirit of man, and in truth. God is a spirit. That's what He is. Now, the second thing that we find that God is found in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. The Bible says, He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God is love. Now, when the Bible says that God is love, it's not talking about the love that the world defines as love. The world says that sex and money and education is love. The Bible says it's the world says it's shacking up and committing fornication and adultery and all of these things and the perverted things that goes on in the world today. That's love. The Bible says that a man can love another man like he can love a woman. Well, the Bible says that. It said that David loved Jonathan, Saul's son, above the love of a woman, but it wasn't a perverted love. It was a love of a man to a man as far as manhood goes and as far as Christ-like love and the love of God. It wasn't a perverted love like man loves man nowadays. In 2018, this thing about women living with women and marrying women and men, I don't care what the government says and what the law says. If it's against the scriptures, it's wrong. It's either right or it's wrong. Now, doctrine is defined as what is and what is not. What is right and what is not right is doctrine. And we believe our doctrine is what the Scripture says. And the Scripture says that perverted things and perversion is an abomination to God. It's an abomination to God. So this love of the world is not the love that when we say love, we're not talking about the same kind of love like Christ's love. And when the world talks about love, it's not talking about divine compassion. It's not talking about holiness. It's not talking about anything that's of divine beginnings. The Bible says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. There's a lot of people in this world that talk a lot about love, but they don't know what love is. Have you ever seen anybody like that? Perhaps we were even that way before we were saved and knew the love of God. Since you've been saved, haven't you found out that Christ's love is a different love than the love defined in the world? Of course you have. Of course you have. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. It doesn't say that God loves or that God likes to love. It says God is love. His very person is love. God is love. So what is God? God is a spirit. And God is love. He's divine compassion. He's a love that's undefinable by a human being. When there have been times in my life that the Lord has been so very kind to me and loved me in a way to where I couldn't even define it across my lips. My tongue could not bring out a definition of the love that he expressed to me and gave to me and showed to me. The Lord is love. And when you experience the love of Christ and the love of God and you know the reality of God's love versus it doesn't even come in comparison to the world's kind of perverted love. It's not even of the same world. And you know that. You know that. If you know anything about God and know anything about Christ's love and the love that Christ, the love of Christ and the love of the brethren, then you know that it has absolutely nothing to do with the world. But what is God? God is love. God is love. And I'm glad he is, aren't you? I'm glad he is. And we're going to get into other studies also that show the other side of the Lord, that God is also hate, that God hates things and the other side of him. So we have to understand and we have to bring this thing into balance and know if we're going to know one side of the Lord, we need to know the other side also. And we're going to learn these things in this ABC. And we're going to know who our God is and we're going to know his personality. We're going to know his character and we're going to know everything about our Lord so that we can be like him and so that we can think the way that he thinks. That's what we want and that's what we desire. We want to think the way that the Lord thinks, because the way that the Lord thinks is right. So what else is God? Well, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." And in him is no darkness at all. You say, how much darkness is in God? How much darkness? Well, God must have some dark side. So you hear people say the dark side of God. There's no such thing. There's no such thing. The Bible says in him is no darkness at all. The Lord said in the beginning, he said, let there be light. The Lord originated and created light. You know why? Because God is light. God is a spirit, and God is love, and God is light. He is divine holiness. He is divine holiness. If we think of holiness as human beings, and we think of holiness as saved people, and we try to get the very best picture and understanding and knowledge of holiness, and we do come up with it sometimes, but nothing like the Lord. The Lord is 100% purity of holiness, just the pureness of holiness. And in him is no darkness at all. Aren't you glad that we have a God that's holy and that doesn't compromise his holiness? What if the Lord decided to compromise his holiness for whatever it might be? I don't know. I don't know what it could be, but he compromises his holiness and lets darkness off the hook for just a second. You couldn't have any respect for the Lord anymore, could we? We couldn't respect him as a holy God and a God that's pure and a God that can be trusted. We couldn't trust him anymore. But we can trust him because he never varies. He never waves. He never goes in the ditch on the left or ditch on the right. He always stays true and faithful. God is holy. God is light. The Lord Jesus said he was the light. He is the light of the world. And the Bible says that God is light and that in him is no darkness at all. And the writer there, John, says this then is the message which we have heard of him. They heard the Lord say it himself and declare it unto you. We're passing it along that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. These are men that walked with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they seen this man. And if they was going to see any darkness in him, they had 3.5 years they walked with him, day and night, morning, noon, and evening. And if they were going to pick out anything that they say, aha, about the Lord Jesus Christ having any darkness in him, they could have picked it out. Because one of the best things that humans know how to do is find fault in each other, don't we? And if they were going to find any fault in the Lord Jesus Christ and find some darkness in him, they would have found it. But they didn't. They didn't. Matter of fact, when it was all over with, John wrote, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. I'm so glad I got a God that's not in darkness and doesn't desire to have any darkness in him. And he don't play around with sin. He doesn't like sin. God hates sin. He hates wrong. He hates the things that people ought to hate. And he loves the things that people ought to love. And that's the way we want our minds to work. And we want our minds to form. The Bible says, transforming our minds, changing our thinking like God's thinking. So what else is God? God is a spirit. God is love, and God is light. Well, God is another thing. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 29, it says, for our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Now, the scriptures do not, what do I want to say? That the scriptures don't try to hide anything when it comes to the fire of God. God is, the Lord has been associated with fire all through the scriptures. And the Bible says that in one place that his eyes were like fire. The Bible says in another place that fire goes out before the Lord, consuming all the things that are before him. The Bible says that the presence of God will melt the top of a mountain when he descends down on it. The Bible says that our God is a consuming fire. Jonathan Edwards writes in some of his writings that I've read before talking about hell. And talking about the very fire in hell, and the Bible says he refers to this verse as somewhat of a proof that God is the very fire that is tormenting and punishing the people that are in hell. Because the Bible says that God's going to get glory off of those that praise Him, and God's going to get glory off of punishing the ungodly. Either way, you're going to give glory to God. If you deny Him, your suffering and punishment in hell is going to give God glory, and because of His justice and because of His righteousness. And if you accept Him as Savior and you comply to you accept Him as Savior and you tell the truth about what the Lord is and you agree with Him and you receive Him as your Savior and you're born again and you're birthed into the family of God and the body of Christ, then you will give Him glory because of what He has done and what He has done for you and for mankind. Either way, God's going to get the glory. But Jonathan Edwards, he said that that this verse here is describing also the very fire in hell that does not consume, but it torments day and night, and it's a punishment from God, and that God's very presence in hell is that fire. It's not a fire from God, it is God as a consuming fire Himself. Now that's scary. You know, I'm saved, and the Lord saved me, and I'm not going to hell. The Lord saved me, and He promised me that he that believeth on said shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So I'm not coming into no condemnation. The Lord's not going to condemn me. He's dealing with me as a son right now and correcting me where I need correcting and teaching me and conforming me into the image of His Son, just like He's doing you. But as far as being condemned and sent to hell, that's done. It's over with. It's out of the question now. It's not going to be. But I'm still scared of hell. I'm scared of people going to hell. I don't want people to go to hell. Do you? Hell is not a place to tease about and to joke about. Hell is real. And it's there. And the Bible says in Isaiah, it waits and opens its mouth wide to receive thee at thy coming. It says hell has expanded itself. That's a scary place. And if people didn't believe in hell and didn't really believe in hell in the back of their minds and in the deepest, most deepest parts of their heart, why do they talk about hell so much? And why is hell in the English language? Why do they talk about hell this and hell that and go to hell and the hell with it and run like hell and bat out of hell and hell, but we don't believe in it. People know nature itself doth teach us that God is a consuming fire. God can't be played with, and He's not going to be played with. He is a very compassionate and kind and wonderful and thoughtful God, and He can show you kindness that you have never experienced before and that you'll never forget. But also, God cannot be manipulated, and He can't be thrown around like a rag doll and taunted and told and commanded and instructed by any man. He's not that kind of God, and He won't be, and He won't tolerate it. We should come to God in humility and come to Him like, as the Bible says, we can come to His throne boldly. But when it says we can come to His throne boldly, that's because we're privileged as His sons now. And it is a privilege. And when it says privilege to come before God, we come before Him humbly. And you should know that, and you do. So we're talking about what is God. God is a spirit. God is love. God is He is a light. And God is a consuming fire. Now, the Bible also teaches that God is a person. God is not just some woo, 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 out there, he has personality. A person has personality. And the Bible teaches us about our God and teaches us about his being. And some of the things that the Bible teaches us about the Lord is that he has personality. And let's look at some of it. John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So one part of God's personality is that God loves. Plural. God loves. For God so loved the world. That's not some essence that's flying around out there that has no meaning or has no personality. That's a person. Persons love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God loves. He's a person. Another thing that God's personality shows us in the scriptures is Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16. "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him." You see, people love, and people are made in the image of God. And we're made in the image of Adam now since the fall, unless you're born again. If you're born again, then you're made after the image of God, because God the Holy Ghost has made you a new man and conforming you into the image of God. But you're made in the image of Adam, a fallen man. But originally, man was made in the image of God. Now, God has personality and God loves. And God also hates. You say, yep, that's true. Just go on and face it. Face it and believe it, because that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that these six things doth the Lord hate. And these aren't just six. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. The Lord hates. The Bible says that the Lord hates. Now, there's nothing wrong with hating. Hating is part of personality of a human being. And to deny it is to lie to yourself and deceive yourself. Hating is constructive and it's good if it hates the right things. The idea is that you hate the right things. But the world's trying to confuse things and make everything so relative, nobody knows what to hate or what to love anymore. And unless you know the scriptures and what the scripture says, and you have a final authority and you have doctrine to believe in, what is and what is not? Well, what is that God loves, and he has personality because he is a person. We're talking about what is God. God is a person. He's a spirit. He is love. He is light. He is a consuming fire. The Bible says he has personality because God loves. Now, you either believe that or you do not. The Bible says that God hates. You either believe that or you do not. I believe it. I know it to be true. God hated the sin that I was playing around in. He hated that. And he done something about it, and he got me out of it. And praise his name. Another thing that the Bible says is in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 6. "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." Another thing that is a person in the person, the personality of the person of God, is that God grieves. God grieves. The Bible said that when Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus, and the people were crying and boo-hooing about Lazarus, and Mary and Martha were saying that if the Lord, if you was here, he wouldn't have died. And he came there, and it said the Lord grieved in his heart. He grieved, but he grieved because of their unbelief. He grieved that they had seen his miracles, and they knew that he could raise Lazarus from the dead, and he even told them that he was going to raise him from the dead. But they still doubted him, and he grieved in his heart. The Bible says that God is a person and God has personality, and that God grieves like we do. It bothers him. It says he grieved and it says that he grieved him at his heart. Have you ever been grieved in your heart to where you just go, Yes, you have. I have too. We're human beings. We're people. We're persons. We have personality. We grieve. So does the Lord. So does the Lord. The Bible says another thing. And now you listen to this. I'm telling you what the Bible says. I'm not telling you what Thurman thinks, even though I do believe the Scriptures and I agree with them completely. I believe everything I'm telling you because the Scriptures say so, not because I'm so smart. And do you believe what's being said here? And do you believe it because God has said it? Or are you questioning it? It's a mistake to question God's Word. You're wasting your life and wasting your time because God's going to come out on top and you're going to have to start all over. Best thing to do is believe the Lord the first time and just follow through and get understanding and get knowledge from it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of wisdom. Another thing that the Lord is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 15. The Bible says, "For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth." That's some jealousy there. The Bible says that God's person and his personality, that he gets jealous. The Lord is jealous. You see, there's not only a right kind of hatred, there's a right kind of jealousy. You know, a man wouldn't be a man if he didn't see another man trying to mess with his woman and not get jealous about it. A woman wouldn't be a real woman and be a true woman and be a realistic, authentic woman if she didn't get jealous about a woman trying to show her stuff in front of her man. What kind of world are you listening to anyway? The world's a liar. The world is full of lies. Don't you know that yet? The Lord said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." You're not to trust the world. You're to trust that book. And trust what the Lord says. God is jealous. God is jealous. He don't want you out there fooling around with any kind of other gods or messing around with fornication or adultery or the things that are going to kill you and the things that are going to shame him. You're a child of God. You're to behave. If you're a child of God, the Bible says, walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. The Bible says that God loves. It says that he hates. It says that he grieves. It says that he's a jealous God. It also says in 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 9, "And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice." Did you get that one? What's the Lord's personality, part of the Lord's personality in that one? The Bible says, "And the Lord was angry with Solomon." The Lord gets angry. The Lord gets angry. Have you ever thought or known in yourself that you made God mad? I've made him mad a few times, and it scared me when I did that. I heard a guy one time tell me, he said that he was so arrogant with the Lord that he looked up to heaven and he said, "Come on down here, God, and I'll gouge your eyes out." Ain't you glad God has patience? It scared me when he said that. I shivered inside when he said that, and we weren't even talking about. He was just telling me about what he used to be like and what he has said to the Lord before. And that scared me when he said that. And it should have made you shiver inside when you hear somebody say something to a God that can get angry. The Bible says that tells us in a lot of places where the Lord was talking to some other people, and he would tell them, he said, "I'm not going to do that." The Lord would do things to keep his anger from getting stirred up against people. It says that all over the Scriptures, that the Lord will do things to avoid getting his anger stirred up at people, because the Lord knows how he is when he gets stirred up with anger. And we got a world today that's trying to teach us that anger is a mental problem. And anger, now some anger is. Wrath, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. That's the kind of anger that the world thinks all anger is. But there is a right kind of anger. There's a right kind of jealousy. There's a right kind of hatred. There's a right kind of anger. God gets angry. And there's things that you ought to be angry about, but angry at the right things, not the wrong things. God gets angry. He has personality. What is God like? Well, God gets angry. There's another thing here that the Lord's personality is like. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, sorry about that plane that's going over if you hear it. You want to listen to it? Ever since this city has taken on an international airport, the flight path goes right over the place here. So anyway, but sorry about that. For a minute there, you thought you was flying in a plane, didn't you? What is God like? Well, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He careth for you. I love that verse, don't you? Casting all your care upon Him. God gives you permission to put your cares on Him. It says, cast them on Him. Cast all your care upon Him. How much of your care? All your care. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You know, I ain't never, that's something, there's some things that you never get tired of listening to and you never get tired of hearing. Some people get tired of hearing, well, I told you I loved you 14 years ago and it's still, that still counts. Some people get tired of hearing, I love you, repetitiously. And I could see that, but when there's no meaning behind it. But one thing I think I never, ever have gotten tired of hearing is that when somebody tells you, I care about you. Isn't that good? Isn't that good to hear? I care about you. The Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You know, one thing about God's personality and that proves that He is a person and what God is that God cares. God cares. I don't know what I would do if I didn't have a God that cared about me. I think I know what would happen, and I'm pretty sure I know what would happen. I would self-destruct, and so would you. We would take ourselves out. And that's what the world's doing right now. It's disposing of itself. It's decaying. Man's not getting better. Man's getting worse. We didn't start at the bottom, and we're getting better and better and better, all you evolution monkey man. Man started at the top. God made man in the image of God, and man was exactly like God without sin and perfect. And man fell, and man has been getting worse ever since. And if you can't see that, you blind as a bat. So what is God? Well, God is a spirit. God is love. God is light. God is a consuming fire. God has personality. God loves. God hates. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 6, it said, "He repented the Lord that He had made man upon the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart." God grieves. God is a jealous God. God can be angry. And the Bible says that God cares. All of these things we gotten from Scripture today, from the Bible, from the Word of the living God, from the words of the living God also. Isn't it good to have God's Word so we can know? And how do we know these things? You know, all these things are the characteristics of personality. All these things that we mention. And there's some who think God is just an impersonal force and that He is in all of nature. God is in nature. No, God made nature. Nature reveals the Lord. The Lord doesn't reveal nature. Nature reveals the Lord. And He's not impersonal. God is very personal. He's very personal. And you've had run-ins with the Lord when it comes to His love and when it comes to His hate. You've had run-ins with the Lord about His grievances and about His jealousies, about His anger. And you know that the Lord cares, don't you? The Bible teaches it. But not only does the Bible teach it that makes it true, but the Lord has shown it to you that makes it true, doesn't it? Yes, it does. All right. Well, let me give you these scriptures today. What is God? We're talking about the study of God, and we've talked about what is God. Here's the scriptures. Are you ready? John chapter 4, verse 24. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. John chapter 3, verse 16. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. Genesis chapter 6, verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 15. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. And that's all for today. And I praise the Lord for you listening. And isn't it wonderful that we have a God that is an actual person and that lives and is real and is in control of things and can back up what he says, and he has the power to do it? I'm glad I'm trusting in him, aren't you? Well, we're going to stop right there, and we're going to talk about in our next lesson, what is God like? Now, we talked about some of that today, but we're going to go into the some of the communicable and in other words, the things that we can communicate, that God can communicate to man, the way, what he's like, the things that God can I can't say those words, they're too long for me. Incommunicable, meaning that God, there's some things about God that he can't communicate to man. And then the communicable ones are the ones that God can communicate with man, that we can understand and we can understand about him. So we're going to talk about some of those things next time. And listen, if you're expecting some smart-talking, big-worded fella, you know better than that. You've already heard me try to say some words and I can't say them. But that's okay, you know. I love the Lord and I believe him, and I know what God's done for me, and I believe him, and I believe that book, and that's all I'm trying to get through to you people. And I want you to love the Lord as much as you can love him and give him all the glory, and I want you to walk in sincerity and in truth, and for you to magnify your God, because we're going to be with him for eternity, and he's coming soon. He's coming to get us. So be encouraged, brothers and sisters, just give God the glory with your life. We're going to talk about what is God like next time on the next recording, and I hope that you'll participate. The Lord be with you. Bye-bye.